Good morning. It's the day the Lord hath made. Are you ready to stand to your feet? Are you ready to make the affirmation? We've said the word needs to be this, as big as this in our lives right now. Open your mouth, hold your word up, or if you don't have your word, hold your phone up because you got a word in there. Hold it up and out loud with me. Make an affirmation. Make the confession with me together. Put it on Mary Alice if you would. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. Say it again. It's not a last resort. Come on. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Be seated. Well, this is a big weekend, isn't it? More so in New Orleans than anywhere in the world today. What a crazy weekend. You got big game that stops the world for a day. There's a motion going on in a lot of cities right now where they're trying to make the day after Super Bowl a national holiday because everybody's staying up so late and they don't want them on the roads the next day. Well, here we are, and we've got craziness that goes all the way till Tuesday. And then if you don't have your Valentine's card, you're in big trouble, and that's on Wednesday right now. So a big, big weekend. And I'm, as I said a minute ago, I'm really glad for the Christian witness that we've been seeing from many, many players. And I've seen people that are too spiritual to even talk about things like this. Well, you know, that's no. There's some real good things going on. You learn a lot of lessons in the sports. In fact, do you know that Paul was the one who wrote of sports metaphors more than he did anything else? Because that's something we as fine, it's almost like parables for us. We can understand these things. And maybe you're going through a difficult situation right now. Maybe you're overwhelmed. Maybe you've messed up even. Maybe you just don't know. Maybe you're looking and you're evaluating, but let me just tell you, it's not over yet. It's not over yet. Don't be discouraged today. There's always time to, I sought the Lord and he heard me as she sang a few minutes ago. That's over. Both of these songs today we're talking about calling out to God, crying unto God, and this fits perfectly with where we are today. Maybe you're discouraged. Maybe you're looking at yourself and maybe you're in a trap of self-comparison or somebody else. Or maybe your situation is not really what you hoped for. It's not what you saw. Maybe that you wanted to have. I just want to encourage you, if you understand the I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me, that will help you walk through even the darkest time. Using the sports metaphor, humorous Andy Andrews made a great statement about the game of life. And he said it this way. He says, in the game of life, nothing is less important than the score at halftime. Now think about that for a minute. Think about that for a minute. If you follow the Pelicans, they'll win for 3 quarters and 9 minutes. But those last few minutes, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. And if little number 15 is behind today in the fourth, Linda will stand up and say, don't worry, he's got it all under control right now. But that's a good word for life. The score doesn't mean, it's only halftime. Be encouraged right now. The big parade then after this is all over our area. They're begging for beads, begging for trinkets. They're all looking for fun, though. They're looking for diversion. I understand that. Everybody's looking for a feel-good moment. People are that way. You know, what's really, really kind of neat, I remember as kids, and we'd go to some of those, we'd go to a parade or two, and there was always somebody that we might know or my family might know, and they would say things like, now here's what we're looking for. We're looking for float number 5, the neutral ground side, the third clown from the front, blah, blah, blah. And how many have ever done that? And come on, we've all done that, haven't you? And what side, you're either going to be on what side, the new or the... Or the sidewalk side. We can talk that language. Nobody else can right now. And we're looking, we're waiting for that one. And I remember as a kid waiting for that person. And here I am on the street with my hand up like that. And it comes, and all of a sudden it comes, and that person goes like that. And I remember as a kid, your heart drops. Well, I understand that. All what is going on this week, whether it's a ball game, whether it's a function, people are looking to enjoy themselves, but they are all temporary moments. They're all temporary moments. The word of encouragement came a few minutes ago about the word is not a temporary word. And the things we're consumed and overwhelmed with and fearful and sad and worried about, those are temporary things. If we walk in the word that says, I sought the Lord and he heard me. Do you know that as covenant kids, you have a greater hope, you have a greater promise than this, than just a temporal thing, a temporal moment of enjoyment, a temporal thing to lose your mind for just a little bit, to forget your troubles for just a little while. One of my favorite chapters, I'm going to spend a whole day on it down the road because I was in it last night even. Psalm 37, our hero David, he's kind of looking back on his life and he's making an, don't you want to talk to somebody who's been there? How many of you know experts that aren't there? They haven't experienced those things. It's like a couple of times I've had somebody come to me and said, a young married couple, and they might have a one little baby there, and they said, we'd like to do a family seminar. We'd like to do a marriage seminar. And I said, all right, come back in about 10 years, and we'll revise the notes. And you do it kind of funny because we learn as we go. David's testimony was this. He said, I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Now, I'm taking poetic license with what we'll see on the streets today. You understand that. But in the reality of eternity, I don't beg when it comes to the Lord. It's I sought the Lord. And he heard me and delivered me. What a testimony. What a testimony. Understand who you are. Understand who you are. I'm not talking about some arrogant thing. I'm talking about an understanding who we are and how much God really loves each one of us today. What a testimony. More than a game, more than beads, more than a hangover, more lasting blessing. And maybe being a little facetious today, I've lifted my hands and I've said, throw me something, Lord. Have you ever been that way? That hand up, Lord. Lord, I need your help today. Lord, I don't have to wait for the fifth float. Lord, I mean, Lord, and just read. Sometimes it takes a movement. Sometimes the movement does a lot for you. It's good for your heart. It's good for your health. And it's even good when you, let's say, keep your hands up over your heart there. And that move, that helps you when you're exercising or whatever like that. But take your hand and just reach up and say, Lord, good morning. I mean, good morning. I mean, there's something liberating about being able to do that. There's something liberating about being able to do that. So people are stove up and they're worried and concerned. It's okay to call on his name. Because we are catching something far more valuable than a trinket that will end up on a floor somewhere. I have Bible for this. I'm not just some guy saying something for the fun of it. I'm having fun with it because the word is life. The word will last. The word will get you through those deep times. The first time we really see God getting real serious about some of these things was when he got into the face of Jeremiah the prophet, and his people were kind of acting up at the time, and Jeremiah was a pretty strong dude. And here's what he said. In fact, this passage has actually been referred to as God's phone number. You've heard the old timers, Jesus on the main line, call him up and tell him what you want. Oh, we used to sing that until we sweat. I mean, it was just, we sang and danced and Jesus on the main. Jeremiah 33, verses 1 through 3, has been referred to as God's phone number. Call him up. Call him up. The word verse 1 says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time while he was shut up. Wait. Lord, things are supposed to be wonderful. Things are supposed to be rosy. I should not be going through anything. Lord, I loved you. I served you. Why am I going through this? David went through that. Lord, I've served you all my life. And why these people that have been against you, they're doing better than I am. Their chariots look better than mine. It's like they're being blessed. What's the matter? The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time. I'll talk about that in just a minute. While he was shut up. In other words, he was not yet free. He was not yet delivered. His predicament still had him imprisoned, literally. He was still shut up in the court of the prison. What's this tell me? Wherever you are, you can call on him and you can hear his word. When you're overwhelmed, call him up. That's the phone number. What do you mean the phone number? The next verse is right here. Thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it, talking about the earth, to establish it. The Lord is his name. And here's what the Lord says. Call to me, and I will answer you, number one, number two, and number three, and show you great and mighty things which you did not know. Three point message. What's first word? First point. Call me. Second point. I will answer. Third point. What's he going to do then? And then I will show you great and mighty things, as the scripture says, far beyond what you can even dream up or ask or think. That's how much he loves you. That's a good word. Now, the background here on this, remember the statement said, moreover, the word of the Lord came a second time while he was still in prison. Don't have time to go through it right now, but there's a lot going on in the 32nd chapter of Jeremiah right in front. And in verse 26, it might not even be up there, I'm not quite sure. In verse 26, it says, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. This is in the other chapter before, verse 26. You can check it, make sure I'm not making it up. And here's what the Lord said in verse 27 of chapter 32. Behold, in other words, pay attention. I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. And the question that implies its answer is this. Is there anything too hard for me? Okay, there's a lot going on there. And God's ticked off about the way Israel is not listening to his voice. He's ticked off at the persecution that is coming against his people. He's ticked off of the fragments, actually, where the covenant people should be walking together. They are not, and they're walking against God. And God's about had it with them. So that's the first time. So when you turn the chapter in 33, it says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time. That tells me, he's going to say it until you get it. He's there. 3 points. Call me. I will answer and I will. Now, got to know. This was big news. Don't you know, there had to be a little bit of a gap between the time that God speaks this into Jeremiah, between the time that he was actually to deliver it. Don't you think there might have been some kind of idea that would say, okay, call me and I will answer you. God, you know where we are, don't you? He doesn't care where we are. He's going to work right through it. His purpose is going to happen, as we used to say, even if it kills grandma, he's going to do it. God, are you sure you want me to say it? I want you to thunder it to these people. I want you to say it. I want you to thunder it to these people. Imagine, this is big news the first time he hears it. It's big news with that first revelation. Imagine, the first time we read it, we don't think of that. But imagine when you heard it from God the very first time. That's got to shake a man. Look where he is. Look what he's going through. That has to shake a man. And here he is in prison. Are you sure you want me to say this? I'm amazed. What was he feeling? What were his conversations? I don't know. If he's human, he's going to listen and he's going to say, he's writing and he's going to go, are you sure? Are you sure about this? Imagine the guy that heard the voice of God for the first time. I heard a comedian the other day. He said something. Imagine the first guy. The first time a parrot spoke to him, he says he wasn't okay for a few days. God, are you sure? Say it to my people right now. Here's a statement I want to give to you about to understand who you are in this covenant walk. I think it's a good thought for today. We are recipients of, and we are participants in, something that is eternal. Let me say it again so you can, let me walk you through it. We are recipients of, and the next step is, and we are participants in that which is eternal. You understand? that goes exactly with the songs, exactly with the encouragement, exactly what the Lord told us when we were building a foundation all of last month. Think about that. As covenant kids, we have what some people call, if you join a company or join a club. As covenant kids, it's one of the benefits of membership. It's one of the benefits of membership that I can call on Him. And I know because of the character of God is so good, when His name is called on, He listens to His covenant kids. Yeah, but I'm not doing well today. All right. You're not in jail. You're not being persecuted. But that doesn't minimize what we feel. I've seen people stand up and say, people going through just hell, going through things, oh, just snap out of it. Sometimes you just can't snap out of it. You need a word. You need to get to that point where you have to grab hold on that altar, and you have to say, Lord, I need to hear you right now. Here's another story about the character of God and what He did in the new covenant. Acts 3, Message Bible 3 through 10. So one day at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Peter and John were on their way to the temple for the prayer meeting. I like the way it says. At the same time, there was a man crippled from his birth being carried up, and said every day he was set down at the temple gate, the one named Beautiful, to beg from those going into the temple. Stop right there. Josephus and other historians say that this thing that was called the Beautiful Gate was like way cool big and way beautiful. One writer said it was made of costly Corinthian-type brass that had been molded. It said the gate was actually 62 feet wide, and it went up a 31 feet. What a place. And the historians say it was indeed a beautiful place. But he sat at that beautiful spot to beg from those going into the temple. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked for a handout. Peter with John at his side. Now, these were guys who loved Jesus. They were still learning the ropes, but there was something of compassion inside of them when they passed this man. He was asking for one thing, and they were trumping what he's going to ask for. I'm gonna up it on you. I'm not just going to give you money. Watch what he says here. And I love the way the message said it. Look here. And he looked up, expecting to get something from them. And Peter said, I don't have a nickel to my name. You ever said that? But what I do have, I give to you. And notice the authority that he spoke in. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And he grabbed him by the right hand, and he pulled him up. And in an instant, his feet and his ankles became firm. By the way, if you are lifted up by the word of the Lord, you will be on firm footing. You will be on firm footing. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of ungodly people. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. It says he jumped to his feet and he walked. The man goes into the temple with them, walking back and forth. He's dancing, praising God. And it's so typical religion, he kind of blew the order of service. Here's the miracle that they had passed for years. And you got to know that's a really good place to beg, because people are going in there and they want God to see what they're doing. Pretty good thing going there. But he got more than he bargained for. Everybody saw him there walking around praising God. They recognized him as the guy who had been begging at the temple at the Beautiful Gate. They rubbed their eyes. They were astonished, scarcely believing what they were seeing. Now, where did their faith come from? Where did their authority come from? Where did their power come from? All right, let's talk about these two guys. They were steeped in the history. They had been, and they heard the word. They were steeped in the history. They had eyewitness accounts of the way Jesus operated and what he said they would have poured out upon them. They had been they were men of worship. They were men of reading. They continued to practice the things, the doctrines together. And they, you know why? Because they realized they were a part of something that was eternal, something that was so special. I wrote it this way on my notes. Peter and John were in the learning lab. And they were learning for their fact that they were recipients of and participants in the eternal word of God Almighty. And it's that word. They didn't do it on themselves. You see in the scriptures, guys tried to do things on themselves. Demons jumped on them. Here's another story with Jesus himself. This is probably the first story that you thought of when I told I'd be speaking on this. I love the account, Mark chapter 10. So they reached Jericho, Jesus and the disciples. By the way, this is the only time in Scripture that tells us that Jesus was in Jericho. There's no other account of Jesus being in Jericho. So what you need to know here, whether he's been there or not, if you need it, he's going to show up. And Bartimaeus needed something very, very special. It's the only time, and this would be a memorable day, this one day visit that we're reading about in 2024. Jesus and his disciples left town and a large crowd followed them. And there was a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. And he was sitting beside the road. Now, when they put where he is from and what family he was a part of, there seems to be some thought that Bartimaeus was from a very well-placed, prestigious family, maybe even a wealthy family, okay? Because they're showing his lineage there, and this just wasn't some guy on the road there. This was something a little bit different. And wherever you are and what station you are living right in life right now, when you call on him, he responds. So here's what happens. Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was nearby, and he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the religious people, "Shh, hush, stop. You're embarrassing us. Be quiet." Many of the people yelled at him. In fact, the original language, from what I understand, they were very harsh toward him, telling him to shut up. Very harsh toward him, telling him to shut up. And you know what he did? He got louder. Sometimes you got to get louder. Sometimes you got to get louder. Sometimes you got to get louder. Lynn and I were so blessed in our years to spend a lot of time with Oral Roberts. Don't believe everything you read in the paper. Man of God, he loved God. He loved me. He loved Linda. But he was a character. And I worked with him many, many times. And I heard him tell a story a few times. It's a man by the name of Robert DeWeese who was his co-evangelist for many, many years when they're doing the tent meetings. And Robert DeWeese got very sick and he was dying. He was dying. And they asked him to go visit his longtime friend to pray for him. And he said he went and there was his family there and his buddy Bob DeWeese was laying there and he was about to leave this planet. And he went over and he laid his hand on him. He said, "Lord, I just ask you to touch my friend right now. Be with him." You know how you'd pray. I ask you to touch him in Jesus' name, amen. And all of a sudden, Deweese's daughter walks up, pulls him back and says, "All right, now that's not good enough." She says, "I want a tent prayer." "What do you mean a tent prayer?" "I want a tent prayer where you speak against death, where you speak against the power that attacks God's people." And she started ripping. He said, "I gave her a tent prayer then." And he walked out of that hospital. Sometimes you got to get a little bit louder. You might have to get by yourself. Sometimes you're in your car. That's when you're by in your car and all of a sudden somebody, the red light's looking at you and you're speaking. You're going, "Hey, how you doing? All right." Or you pat your steering wheel like you're singing something from the 70s. A tent prayer. He only got louder. Now watch this. This guy, we learned something from Bartimaeus. He starts from the covenant identification. He goes, "Jesus, Son of David," the covenant reminder, got it? "Have mercy on me." Right words, number two. And when the Lord heard him, he stopped. He said, tell him to come here. So the climate changed all around him. All of a sudden, dude, he's calling you, man. Get up there. Go now. Help him. Take him up. We'll walk him up there right now. And all of a sudden, they're going to help him because, hey, we wanted him to see you. No. Bring him here. Cheer up. Come on. He's calling your name. He threw aside his coat. He jumped in and he came to Jesus. In New Orleans, that's probably the first time the word one call, that's all, was ever used. And I really like this line here. I love this line. Verse 51. And Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? Oh, wow. It's one thing for me to ask you, what would you like me to do for you? But it's another thing. When Jesus is standing right there in front of your blind face. And some of us have been more blind than Bartimaeus when Jesus has been speaking to us. What do you want me to do? And in respect, he said, notice that, my rabbi. He could have said, sir. He could have even said, rabbi. My rabbi. I want to see. Remember what the word of God came to Jeremiah? Call on me. I will answer and I'll show you. You can't be shown if you're blind. Cheer up, guys. He's talking to you. And Jesus, in the far beyond what you can ask or think mode, didn't just go, dude, you can see now. Not only can you see, but your sins are forgiven. Go on, your faith has healed you. And instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. Historians tell us that he became one of the crew that followed. One of the crew that followed. And probably had a lot of influence from his background and his family. And as he spoke the word, he became a disciple. Notice, here's another whole story. Golly, there's so much here. Notice this statement. It said, he cried out to Jesus, and Jesus stood still. If I had time, I'd go back and do a message on the Old Testament when the children of Israel are fighting and it's getting dark. And it's getting dark and they can't see and they're going to get wiped out. And they needed more. And God's man said, oh God, we need more light here. And at that moment when they called on God, the word tells us in the Old Testament that the sun stood still. Imagine the account where the sun stood still. That's like an amen point. That's not a praise God. No, that's an amen point. That's a tent prayer, amen. He stood still. That's big too. Call me and I will answer. I was kidding you a little while ago. I said, when we reach up and when we shout, you know who's doing the throwing? Well, think how much you know who's doing the throwing today. How much you know him when you lift up your heart right now? Why? His ears are tuned to your call. And he's only throwing that which is good and that which is eternal to me. So with uplifted hands and an uplifted heart today, I want to read something to you. But in Luke chapter 11, I won't read all of it. I'm just going to read. In Luke chapter 11, I'm going to read. In the very first part of Luke chapter 11 was the moment when they said to him, teach us to pray. Very monumental chapter in Luke chapter 11. Teach us to pray. And just 8 verses after that, he makes this statement in Luke 11 verse 9. So I say to you, ask, it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Another 3-point message. You already know that. You learned that in Sunday school. You learned that in youth camp. You learn those. Some of you have that on your refrigerator. Some of you have a little scripture on your wall with that scripture in it. But let me add some color again using the Message Bible that broadens the thought. Verses 9 through 13, Message Bible. Here's what I'm saying. Ask and you'll get it. Seek, you'll find it. Knock, the door will be open. But notice this next statement here. Don't bargain with God. You're not going to be able to work a deal with God. You're not going to be able to work a deal with God. Don't bargain with God. Be direct and ask him what you need. This is not a cat and mouse hide and seek game we're in. If your little boy asks you for a serving of fish, would you scare him and give him a live snake on his plate? If your little girl asks for an egg, would you trick her with a spider? And as bad as you are, wouldn't you think such a thing? At least a decent person, you wouldn't do that to your children. And don't you think the Father who conceived you in love would give you the Holy Spirit if you would just ask? What a story. What a beautiful story. So what are you saying on this weekend? Don't be afraid to ask, to seek, to knock. He's on the main line. Tell him what you want. Call me, I will answer, and I will. Yep, I know who's throwing. I know what's coming. And on that special day, though, there'll be another day when you're lined up waiting for something to pass by, and your hands will be up in the air, and you won't be looking for float number 5 on the neutral ground side and the third clown from the front. He won't be in tights. He won't be on a wig. He will be on the coolest white horse you've ever seen in your life. He won't be in costume, but the bright sash across his chest will say, "The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords." He'll be wrapped in a blaze, fiery blaze of glory. He's going to be saying, "I'm here to answer what you have called." So I'm asking you today, call him. Put your hand up. Call on him. Call on him. Tell him right now, "Lord, I'm concerned about this need. Lord, I need your touch right now." It may be a job thing. It may be a family thing. It may be a financial thing. It may be a health situation. Open, talk to him. It's nobody's business what you're saying. Call me and I will answer. We're saying, "Lord, give me the word. Throw me the word. Let the word touch me." Open your mouth. Open your mouth. "Lord, touch. Lord, touch me right now." Everybody to your feet right now. I want you right now in this house. I've tried to encourage you, and I've tried to have a little fun with the analogy of what people are looking at. And when you see that, how much more, how much more, how much more, how much more? Revelry's going on. They didn't even realize it's going. They'll eat that cake because it's good. They don't know a history about the three strands that make it together, about the three strands. They don't know about that baby that came as a gift to us on that day. They think it's something else right now. And Lord, I just thank you that you came. I want you to join hands with people and just join a hand and ask God to bless each one right now. Ask God to touch them right now. Call on me, he says. I will answer. Call on me and I will answer. The Lord hears your deepest cry. The Lord knows your deepest fear. The Lord knows that in Jesus' name, let healing come to you, buddy, this week. In Jesus' name, be strengthened right now. Lord, we love you today. We call on you. We call on you. You said we could do it. And the word says you've responded in every way right now. Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you. We bless you. You're a good God. Lord, there have been times we didn't think we could make it to the next day, and yet here we are today. And we're thankful. We love you. We love you. We love you. Lord, we just thank you.